von Public Netspace Konrad Becker, dann Pavel Antonov aus Bulgarien und Alexander Dragonov aus Bulgarien. Das war jetzt nicht richtig, richtige Aussprache. Drangajov aus Bulgarien und Sebastian Lützgard. Er kommt aus Deutschland und wir beginnen sofort mit Public Netspace. Vorher aber, wir machen die Moderation auf Englisch, das heißt durchgehend Englisch die Diskussion, dazwischen immer nur ganz kurze Teile in Deutsch. Das heißt, wenn Sie Interesse haben, die Veranstaltung dauert noch 2 Stunden, schauen Sie vorbei, kommen Sie ins Free Speech Zelt. Und ich darf jetzt als ersten Diskussionsteilnehmer Konrad Becker von Public Netspace begrüßen. Public Netspace ist ein Non-Profit Internet Provider and Public Netspace has awarded the Prix Ars Electronica in 1995. Public Netspace ist ein nicht kommerzieller Internet Provider und hat 1995 die Ars Electronica, den Ars Electronica Preis, Prix Ars Electronica gewonnen. Hi, Konrad.
Hello.
Hello. Please, can you introduce what is Public Netspace?
Okay, well, as you already said, we are a community-based cultural center for new communication technologies, which means we're a non-profit internet service provider, but not only that. We also function as a platform for a critical discourse on the interrelations of technology, politics, and society in a larger framework. And also we try to provide a showcase for some of the most interesting work that is produced in that realm. So, well, we're in existence for since 1994 in the Vienna Museums Quarter. And, well, we had our interaction with the Freedom Party before, as we are regularly producing sort of discussion forums on critical issues of information society. So, for instance, one was about sex in 1998, which resulted in a big scandal in the Austrian parliament and again in the city council of Vienna. Obviously, they accused us of being a porn state-subsidized porn provider. Well, there's some funny notions about it. Anyway, it was not too funny for quite a while. We had a court case running for more than 1.5 years against Mr. Haider and his lawyer, Mr. Böhmdorfer, who is now our Minister of Justice. So it was not a great, you know, surprise that immediately when the new government came in power in February of this year, you know, they stopped talking with us, basically, and all funding from all sides was totally withdrawn. But from then on, it's not only about funding, but also about throwing us out of our location in the Vienna Museums Quarter to harass us with controlling finance and tax procedures, as well as targeting us with a defamation and slandering campaign. So basically, that's the situation. We still have a lot of fun. A lot of our crew is involved in the protests and demonstrations that are happening in Austria and in Vienna still every week. Mr. Schüssel was probably quite right when he accused the internet generation of being largely responsible for what's happening. We're also running anti-government website called www.government-austria.at, which you might enjoy to have a look at. So clearly there is a pattern of targeting the critical intelligence in this country. There is political blacklists, which some are openly, some are just sort of going around on different channels, and not in response to this immediate political situation, but for quite a while we thought that the notion of cultural, what we call cultural intelligence, is extremely important. Everybody has probably witnessed the boom of not only state and military intelligence like Echelon, but also economic intelligence has become a big issue. So we believe that there needs to be intelligence on the side of the public interest. There is the public sphere, the public domain is under attack, and we need in this, let's call it information warfare for the moment, we need sort of tactical and strategic countermeasures, which involve obviously cultural intelligence. And one of the projects that we launched in this respect is called World Information Org, which was started in Brussels in July of this summer. If you're interested, there is a newsletter is actually just out of the tent, so you can pick one up. And we will have a presentation of this project in Vienna in the end of November.
Thank you for this short introduction, what's going about public NatBase, and does anyone have questions to Konrad Becker? Alex?
Could you tell us a little bit more about this project, Information.org? What's about the aims?
Right. Well, as I said, we have a strong feeling that we do need cultural intelligence and basically also an awareness raising on a very broad level. I mean, some people say that there's maybe 100 people or maybe 100 companies in the world who actually decide now what our future is, which is sort of decide how the infosphere that we're all going to work and live in will look like by determining standards, for instance, and legislation. So this is an effort which is a joint effort of researchers and cultural critics and theoretics, as well as artists and technicians to deal with this issue. So we identified certain topics where we're doing serious research and try to sort of bring that into a debate by also setting up conferences, having exhibitions on these various issues. So three of the main targets that I might just mention for the moment is, for instance, the question of the future heritage. I mean, there's a lot of talk about, you know, how to preserve cultural heritage. And our point here is that if we do not look now for a framework of emancipatory cultural participation in this digital space, in this huge digital space, we will not have a cultural heritage of the information society. So we're not talking about artifacts here, but to enable actually a living, a vibrant cultural practice in the digital realm. That's one point. Secondly, we look at the question of sustainable environments in the infosphere, and we call it the digital ecology. We strongly believe that, you know, as sort of a consequence of the ecological awareness in the, let's say, 70s or 80s, we really need now an ecology movement for the digital realm. And, you know, look at some of these questions of a cultural diverse emancipatory practice in contrast to just the huge media conglomerates, hybrid, sterile sort of way of production. And last but not least, we look into the question of digital human rights in the electronic realm, which I have to say that a lot of the artists and especially the cultural workers have a very high sensibility to these issues, much more than you would think that politicians really should have.
There are lots of very interesting topics you were talking about now. Are there any questions here on stage to public NatBase? Because the thing is, we have a delay, so we have to be finished at 5:30, and I think we all got a good overview about what's going on, and we see on the screen behind Konrad the web address of public NatBase, and so you all can go into the net and look for public NatBase and what's going on there. And I think there are all the problems there also available. The next one here is Pavel Antonov from Bulgaria, from Blue Link, that's also an internet provider in, or an internet forum in Sofia.
Forum rather than provider.
It's more a forum than a provider. And Blue Link aims to create a free forum for exchange of information in order to support sustainable development, democracy and civil society. And more about these topics now from Daniel Antonov. Pavel Antonov, I'm sorry.
Yeah, my name is Pavel Antonov and I come from Sofia, Bulgaria. I would say a few words briefly about the organization I represent here, which is the Blue Link Information Network. And I will not take your time with most of the details because Barbara here has some little leaflets that she may already has distributed to you. So we already heard the mission from the moderator. I would like to say a few words about the background. 10 years ago, my country, Bulgaria, got rid of a regime which was called communist regime. It's another question how common it had with communism. But anyway, this was a time when no kind of public movement could possibly exist without the total control of the state. And so the idea of having any kind of public networking and alternative social movements was not very known to the people. But anyway, things changed very quick, and the first non-profit organizations appeared immediately and started running some kinds of projects. But environment was one of the issues that was on the top of the public agenda ever since the end of the 1990s. And the first actually non-organized movements were in the field of environment. It was earlier than 1989 even. And then things changed in this period of transition where the country was trying to find the way to the civil society and to democracy in some way. And more non-governmental organizations appeared, civil groups. People started understanding the role of non-formal gathering and expressing their needs. And in the meantime, internet appeared. So it was a moment like 3 or 4 or 5 years ago when there was already kind of a situation where it was possible to already think about free exchange of information and also make use of the internet as a tool for this. So this is how a group of citizen groups working in the field of environment decided to create Blue Link. So Blue Link is a platform of several environmental groups in Bulgaria which were aware how important it is to exchange information freely and to have access to the data and to the information that is needed. So that's the background, that's how Blue Link started, and you already heard the mission. This is a website behind the shadow, and it is at www.bluelink.net. Blue Link offers different kinds of information services to the civil groups, so they can post information on the website or they can have assistance in posting information on their own website. The most used services is the email lists, discussion groups. This turned out the cheapest and the most available thing in Bulgaria, so in many cases, some civil groups would come to Blue Link and ask if we can set up a mailing list for them. So we have several success stories with such lists that were created. For example, one time they wanted a list on a big infrastructural project that is supposed to have a motorway through a natural reserve in Bulgaria. And they asked us to create this list. For a few months, they exchanged thoughts and ideas and opinions on it, And in the end, they created a common platform which they submitted to the European Union delegation, which was the sponsor for this project, and to the government. And it was it had some positive outcome. So this proved in reality the necessity of such internet-based information exchange forums. And of course, we offer them training and consultants and other things. But a very important aspect of our work is work with mass media. I personally have a background as a journalist. I've been working for television. So actually, internet is quite a new field for myself. But I am aware of the importance of media if you want to reach a broader audience and promote certain concepts of sustainable development and awareness of the bad fate of nature. So this is how Blue Link opened to some kind of media project. We had, and we still have, a weekly television program on maybe the only public cable TV station in Bulgaria, which is called Demo TV. And this is an NGO-run program, so all kinds of civil groups can come to us with ideas and problems that they work on, and we can either take their video material and broadcast it, or we can produce something and make some investigation problems, because there are lots of problems in the area we work with.
Can you tell us about the problems, a few of them? Are these problems just on the technical side or from the government?
This is a very good issue to tackle a bit. The problem in general is that in the situation of transition, the priority for the people in the country and for the government is getting money. So what they're interested in is getting money from the European Union, from the World Bank, from all the possible international donors. And there are all kinds of big projects that are being discussed, infrastructural projects like the one I mentioned. And this gets into a big contradiction with the state of environment. Bulgaria and the other countries from Central and Eastern Europe, for some reason, still have a good environment which has been preserved. And now in this period, this is a very important dilemma that needs to be solved, because now is the choice to make whether our countries can make the transition in a way that preserves their environment, or shall we sacrifice it and only try to make money. So in this sense, the government is always pro money, I would say. So they're always somehow against the interest of environment. That's how we never get money from them, actually. Speaking about the funding for Blue Link, we get grants from sponsors. Sometimes we want to charge for some of our services, but we still avoid applying for money from the government. Not that there are many chances, but we think if we get money from the government, that would put us in a kind of obedient or loyal position to them, and we want to be independent.
Konrad, does this situation reminds you to the Austrian situation?
Well,
then we have a link from Austria to Bulgaria, yeah? During the last few years, we had a link to, for example, France or Germany, but now we have a link to Bulgaria then. Well,
right. I mean, I think that's a very important issue, General, to have this sort of, European network, which is definitely not confined to the Schengen borders. And, I mean, there's a lot of activity actually going on for institutions who work with new media and this sort of social emancipatory aspects, and which actually are probably some of the most interesting exchange that goes on actually goes on through these institutions, like just to mention Syndicate for one of them. So obviously, I guess we all have different troubles in our respective countries, but I guess we're much stronger together, yes.
If you permit me, I would like to add two more details that I think are important. The first one, I was told it's very important to clarify here to this audience in Austria the color of our organization, which is Blue Link. We chose this color because in our country, Well, to start, not only in our country, everywhere, this is the color of the sea and the sky. So we decided that we don't want to be green, but we want to be blue. This is more open. But also in Bulgaria, blue stands for democracy, and as opposed to red, which stands for communism. And this is a bit of difference, which is quite interesting. Which
it's really interesting
you look
okay.
for. Yeah, I think the different angle changes. And the second thing I wanted to mention is an international network we work with. Maybe some of you have heard of it. It is called the Association for Progressive Communications. It's apc.org. And this is a network which gathers together internet platforms for the non-profit sector in many countries around the world. Bluelink is a partner for Bulgaria, but they have members in Latin America, in Europe and South Africa. And I'm mentioning this because the APC has quite many diverse projects, but one of these activities they develop is community radio and using internet for this purpose. Especially, I know they're active in South Africa with this, so some of you may be interested to see their website and learn more about their project.
Thank you. We are now right in time. Für alle Hörerinnen und Hörer von Radio Froh, wir übertragen hier live vom Free Speech Camp im Ars Corner zwischen Stadtwerkstatt und Ars Electronica Center. Und wir kommen in der zweiten Runde zu unseren letzten beiden Gästen. Das wird Alexander Drangajow sein. Ich hoffe, ich habe das jetzt richtig ausgesprochen.
Ups, it's Drangajow. Drangajow.
Drangajow.
Drangajow, right.
Genau. Und Sebastian Lüttgard. Beide werden jetzt wiederum auf Englisch fortfahren, denn wir sind hier eine internationale Runde, die die gemeinsamen Probleme ansprechen, die freie Medien, freie Netzwerke haben in ganz Europa. Immer eine Einführung von ungefähr 5 Minuten und im Anschluss versuchen wir noch eine kurze Diskussion darüber abzuführen. Mehr geht sich leider nicht aus. Es sind insgesamt 13 Teilnehmer und werden bis ungefähr 16.30 Uhr on air bleiben. Und dann im Anschluss daran haben wir noch eine 5 Minuten Pause. Alexander, please tell us about SIOC. It is an internet society in Bulgaria.
No, it's an international organization.
An international organization.
I'm here to represent the Bulgarian Internet Society. Before that, I want to say just a few words about the media background and the background of the internet space in Bulgaria. First of all, maybe the most important feature of each kind of media is its independence. And the fundamental conditions for such independence are the media financing and the legal base in any country. So these two conditions are in some way present and observed in Bulgaria. And if there is any hint of restriction of a media, that always leads to a wide social discussion. And if there are such cases, any separate cases of conflicts, the media and between the media and an authority, in 90% of those cases, both sides are equally guilty. So the media which develops with highest rate among all other medias, of course, I suppose it's everywhere, is the internet. In Bulgaria, we have a lot of online editions of newspapers, TVs, and radio stations that have production with full coverage of news and topics. They also have online broadcasting, and most of all of those editions don't look for any profit as proceeds of their online editions. Maybe their profit and the advantage of all this is, of course, advertising of the medium itself and the contact with Bulgarians worldwide, and not only Bulgarians, but people with same viewpoints about different questions. So what each media is doing now in Bulgaria with that online presence is acquiring and supporting and keeping part of that new platform for their viewpoints. So I want to say now, what are the main advantages of the internet, of the web as a platform? First of all, and maybe one of the most important, is that internet is a flexible system. Its flexibility, it's contemporary changing system, and every moment a lot of new information falls in. And besides, the internet is a centralized, decentralized system. And another important feature is that it's easily accessible. Everyone can sit and write his opinion about everything and publish it. So, besides, another important thing is the worldwide coverage. And after that thing is published, the people with some viewpoints and working in same areas can easily contact such persons, so they create a new kind of media together. Another role is that the internet is used as a source of for the other organizations, for the other media, of news and viewpoints and all the other kind of information. So there is not any country where there is a law for restricting internet in some way. So what internet society fights for is keeping that independence. And I want to give an example. In a few months ago in Bulgaria, there was such conflict between the government and all the medias in the country. It's a good example for that, how media made the government change its decision. So it was an ordinance by the Bulgarian Telecommunication and Post Committee. It's something like a telecommunication ministry. So that ordinance implemented licenses for the internet service provider, which were granted by the governmental state telecommunication company. So what internet society did, it issued a file in the Supreme Court of Bulgaria against the government. And besides, internet society made its position clear that this may result in the in restrictions of the freedom of the information on the internet. And besides, this may give control of the government, control over the ISP business itself. So these viewpoints were shared by all the media in Bulgaria. And there was a great number of interviews and interviews with world famous specialists in the internet field, reports and news pieces. So after months of under that social pressure, that ordinance was discarded, and it was done three days before the final court's decision, when the Prime Minister instructed the Minister of Telecommunications to negotiate an outlaw agreement with the Internet Society Managing Board. Internet Society also, its main role and main aim is popularizing of the web, and being an NGO, a non-governmental organization, since we work in Bulgaria since 1997, and we sponsor other NGOs with providing internet free internet access, and even we provided a free web presence to some of them as websites and other kind of such things. So we also develop some, you know, Bulgaria is not a very rich country, so people don't, especially the governmental institutions, don't give much money for internet and for internet presence. So what we do is also helping such, we develop such state sites and provided internet for governmental organizations. For example, we developed the president's website, and this site is a source for all the other Bulgarian medias, and it provides them information about the presidency and the events there. Our last campaign in Bulgaria, which took place just 2 weeks ago, was an all-Bulgarian gathering. It's a gathering in Bulgaria, meeting in Bulgaria, where it was visited by 240,000 Bulgarians worldwide. And the source of information, the main source of information for all those people was the internet again. So that's a good example how internet connects people. And we also started a new campaign just a few days ago. It's called Internet Classes. Internet Class. Anyway, so it's supported by... is the internet supported by such organizations as Hewlett-Packard, Cisco, IBM, Oracle, Microsoft, and M3 Communication, etc. And we hope soon you'll have more and more companies that will support that ideas. And we already supported access free internet access to some schools in Bulgaria. That's the idea. New subject in the schools called internet. So we plan more and more activities till the end of the year. We already started preparation for the Internet Fiesta 2001. This year was the first Internet Fiesta, and it had really great success. So that exhibition will concentrate on the topic of the free exchange of information worldwide. So that's it. I just want to give also the URLs of Internet Society. It's www.isoc.bg.
I think that was too fast for the audience and our listeners. Can you say that again, please?
Yes, okay. It's www.isoc.bg or of the International Internet Society, it's isoc.org.
So, are there any questions in the audience? Please, public microphone.
Well, I was just wondering whether we managed to get an East-West dialogue, because what he exposed was somehow just the contrary pole of what the Italian friends in the first round had exposed before. And I wonder whether you never questioned whether these companies, which are now in favor of promoting what you want to do to have this access to communication for the people in your country, whether that's not for them a good entrance in a new market. And what are their interests to support such enterprises as yours?
What's the interest of... it's of course, maybe they have a commercial interest. I don't know. You should ask their managers. That's advertising for them, of course. And Internet Society is sponsored worldwide by those companies. It's not just in Bulgaria sponsored by such big companies. And each Internet Society, each regional Internet Society has to find its own way to be sponsored.
Can you just name the companies again? Which are the sponsors?
All right.
It's very interesting because some of them are like against a lot of the things we are like mostly trying to get society aware of. So,
well, they are doing. It's a good example that they do nice things also, not just bad. And they use their money for good reasons. Okay. I'll name it once again. So in Bulgaria, all of them. There's a long list. I would just name the biggest one, the well-known one. These are the Bulgarian offices of Hewlett-Packard, Cisco, IBM, and Oracle, Microsoft, M3 Communications, and BOL. That's a Bulgarian internet provider.
I'd like to intervene.
Yeah, please.
I'd like to make a short note just to make the situation a bit clearer. This is a very good illustration of what I mentioned earlier, how the situation in my country, and I think in other countries in transition, makes the people much interested only in the getting of money and very skeptical towards any kind of mission-driven attitude. So for this reason, it's hard for the people in Bulgaria sometimes to even believe that someone can do something for the idea of it, that some organization can act because people believe in something. People are very suspicious to this because of the 50 years of state-owned ideological propaganda. So, I mean, you should be able to understand why the situation is so. Why are people able to get money from all kinds of sources regardless of their origin? So, I'm not defending it, I'm just explaining.
It's curious that you are so skeptical against such companies. They are not doing something wrong in this case.
This case, it's like global politics. They will invest in your media, and eventually it will keep you from thinking bad or criticizing their market like policies. So you will eventually, if you are providing internet access with Microsoft software, they are not doing anything bad, but you are making people addicts of one specific technology. No, in the long run, it's a bad for them. They will have to upgrade to the newest version. They will have to buy more expensive hardware. They will have to, I don't know, so be the slaves of the stuff they got free first time. But every next time, it's
so you think
maybe it's too early in Bulgaria that people get aware of what the concerns really like to do there. I don't know. How big is the internet society in Bulgaria? How many people are linked there?
Linked as what kind of link you mean?
No, well, how many have access to the internet?
Internet society is not an ISP. It's not an internet service provider. We do not provide internet. And so what you mean is just a restrict. It's a non-governmental organization. And it's sponsored by a great number of different sources. It's not just Microsoft or just Hewlett-Packard. There are a lot of small companies and internet service providers which sponsor Internet Society. It's not a business organization in no way.
But I think that's it now, a very interesting point. You are not sponsored by these concerns. Why? I think that the difference is the important thing between your organization and your...
Of course.
That's why I tried to explain a bit the issue. This is a similar problem like the financing that is being offered to environmental protection organizations. There are many big companies which pollute, like Coca-Cola and McDonald's and chemical factories, who are very willing to give money to nature protection. So... there is a distinction which is visible in the nature protection movement in Bulgaria, but also, I'm sure, all around Europe and around the world. There are groups which get funding from such sources, and there are groups who do not, who made the choice to become clear with their conscience. And for this reason, Bluelink, as a platform of groups of the second kind, is not allowed by our founding members to get funding from polluting companies, for example. Although it would be much easier to get much more money. But again, this is not something you should... don't get angry with the Bulgarian people. They just need a bit more time, I think.
I'm just speaking about this because I spent some time in Bulgaria this year and I have some experience. Mm-hmm. How does it... And I think that people can avoid doing business with such corporations if they really want to. It's not that bad situation.
No, it's a very, very interesting topic, but please talk about it afterwards and privately, because we have to go on third in our program. And the next one is Sebastian Lützgard from Micro, and that's a community in Germany.
Yeah.
And please introduce, what are you doing and how are you organized and what are you focusing on your ideas?
Yeah, so hi, I'm Sebastian from Berlin. So micro.org, the URL is quite simple. It's www.micro.org. It's an organization in Berlin, so in some way that's also East, but I think it's a different East again than Bulgaria is, but it's somehow close to the East in a way. Like Micro was founded in early 1998, and it's an initiative for the advancement of media cultures that was like founded by 10 or 15 people that were all working in like different fields somehow related to media or internet. So that's like artists or curators or journalists, academics, programmers, a lot of very different people. And like Micro is a very, like compared to other organizations, we're not an internet service provider either or producing actually something apart from like, it's a very loose organization. And among our activities is like we're doing in Berlin a monthly so-called Micro Lounge, which is an event that like panel discussions that take place in a club in Berlin. That is sort of like a forum for issues that are interesting related to internet and other media that like range from issues of copyright, issues of like gender on the net, issues of media in Eastern Europe, issues like it's a huge range. If you like to get a bit like a closer view on what these lounges are dealing with, you can. There's a documentation of the first year of our lounges that is somewhere available at the info desk. You can see all the topics and where you can also, then see a bit closer what our focus is. But there are other activities as well. Like in 1999, we did a congress on that was called Wizards of Oz. There was a congress on like open source software and the questions open source and the open source movement poses both like technically and also politically. And they're like this year Micro started, that's something that has just begun, to have a room, because Micro before was sort of kind of a nomadic institution. Like we sort of meet every week or every 2 weeks and then look what sort of projects to start. So now there's a room, like a lab room, where some of us are working and where we are also doing events or like smaller events. And there's the last thing we started is something that's called Last Tuesday, which is which relates a bit to, I mean, from the name, it's like there's First Tuesday, which is like meetings of like business people, investors, people trying to get their startup companies running. And so Last Tuesday is a bit like an attempt to install a bit like a different forum. So Micro has always been affected with like smaller media actually, and with like unstable media a bit more, and with like also all the noise you have in media, like with all those forms of media that are a bit like impure. So it's a .org. It's clearly not a .com, and it's not going one. And maybe to give you a bit more of a perspective, it's like people in Micro like do all sorts of things, and what Micro actually does is like you can all the members of Micro like are just like throwing ideas or ideas for possible projects into the group, and then if there's some people within the group like wanting to start something there, it's possible to do it. But there are also like many possible projects Micro could do, or relationships or networks that just don't happen because we don't have the time. So there's a Micro that runs a mailing list, for example, that's German language mailing list that you can access from the you can get the info on the website. There are like people within Micro involved in the NetTime mailing list. That's Pitt Schultz, who has like co-founded it. I've been moderating it. There's the Syndicate mailing list. Two people within Micro are running the mailing list that Konrad mentioned earlier. That is more dealing with like media cultures in Eastern Europe. So there are like links to Eastern Europe. There's like people who are doing audio stuff like this. Pit is doing something called Club Radio, which is about streaming media. There's Thomas Kalman, who's doing, like, I don't know if you know this. This is called Orang, orang.org, which is an open audio archive. And there's also a similar video archive. And other people are, like, well, doing, like, working on a, more on a journalist level of about internet, and they're like, yeah, all sorts of different activities. And Mikro is trying to, like, a bit to get all these, like to get people from very different fields within media together, because for an, like, for an academic, it doesn't make any sense to deal with internet only on an academic level, and for an artist, it doesn't make any sense to just deal with internet on an artistic field, and even a programmer might need to talk to a creator and whatever. So and also on a bigger level, it's a bit about, like, bringing people together from different fields and providing for them, like, spaces more like spaces to have discussions that are otherwise not possible, or where you don't have, like, institutional structures to provide critical discussion about issues that deal with media and internet.
Are there now any further questions from the audience? Yeah, please. There's a public microphone behind you.
Do you have some relation with Chaos Computer Club?
Yeah, I mean, there's a quite a close relation to that. We sort of used to meet even in their space there. Yeah, so there of course connections, but it's like, I mean, maybe you can say that Chaos Computer Club is more like really into the more technical stuff. I mean, they're also doing conferences and they're doing great stuff, I think. And Mikro is maybe more dealing with things on a more cultural level, but that can always mix. So, I mean, we feel closely linked to Chaos Computer Club, and they're doing great stuff, and they're extremely important for, like, media scenes in Germany and even beyond.
Yeah, actually, we knew from Berlin Chaos Computer Club that came sometimes in Italy in the ACME, but we never heard about Mikro. And
about Mikro, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, but we also feel, like, closely related to stuff going on in Italy. I think they're great. There's like great stuff happening interesting stuff happening in Italy. So, yeah, we are also seeing that.
Yeah, you are invited on the next ACK meeting, by the way.
That's cool. Thanks.
We have definitely direction. It will be in Sicily.
Wow, even better.
Are there any further questions? Because I think then we are going to make a break now for about 5 minutes, and afterwards we start with the third round going on, and we have then, I think, three people here. That's Tamás Sakal from Kontor, then Fran Illich from Cinematic, Peter Nofari from Radio Paradio from Budapest, and Daniel Zili from Radio Rabe aus Bern, from Bern, so I have to say in English. Okay, we are making music now for 5 minutes, und für alle, die jetzt Radio Froh gehört haben und sich gewundert haben, dass wir nichts übersetzen und alles auf Englisch kommt, wir haben hier den letzten Teil vor uns vom Free Speech Camp, von der Diskussion über verschiedene Austauschmöglichkeiten der freien Medien. In einer Stunde sind wir fertig, dann gibt es wieder Free Speech Camp auf Deutsch, und vor allem, wir haben dann eine Übersetzung für die bulgarischen Teilnehmer an dieser Diskussion. Jetzt machen wir noch 5 Minuten Musik, und dann geht es natürlich heute und morgen noch weiter mit Free Speech im Rahmen der Ars Electronica von Radio Froh.